Wagwan, everyone. This is the 55th episode of True to Size.
Dang. What's going on, everybody? Oh, and welcome to True to Size. This is episode 55, as you just heard. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I am joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul. Joel Hernandez.
Yo, 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 Wong Wong.
Alvin Martinez.
Yer.
And that little goon voice you heard at the top of the show was none other than Dooney Jr., Mini Joel. What up, Jomar?
Hey.
Whoa, that was a little bit loud. That's all right.
Keep back.
Thanks for being here, bud.
You're good.
Try again. Go. What up, Jomar?
Hi.
There you go.
That's better.
Thanks for being here, Jomar. We saw that you had a basketball tournament over the weekend.
Yeah?
How'd you do?
Good. We placed first.
First place. What? Was this an Ontario tournament or a Toronto tournament? What was this?
It was in Niagara.
Niagara. And was it U11 or something like that?
U11.
Nice. Congrats. Keep it up. What shoes did you play in this weekend?
My PG3 NASAs.
Ooh. Wow.
The orange colorway.
Is that your favorite one to play in right now?
Yeah.
The PG3? The NASA. Wow. What color is your jersey?
Red and black.
Okay. That's dope. Wow. You were killing it on court. Feet-wise and game-wise, very nice. So this week, we've got a very lengthy fire-round question. It's not even a fire-round question, really. Like, this is really long. Followed by some news from every corner of the sneaker world. We have also got a soul poll to discuss. Mm. And sneaker heading for Dummies makes its return.
It's back.
To help introduce our main topic, Grails. But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
Nice. We'd like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from Line and a Pickaxe once again.
Oh, I've seen that
He's back on his game.
He's back.
This is a different one that was in the DM, actually. But this is also a lengthy question. So he says, "Hi, guys. I would really like to hear your take on this. It can be argued that brands are using footwear and streetwear as avenues to affect social change and to show how the brand sees a world that is more inclusive and receptive to the changing world around them. How does CGS see footwear as a platform for social justice and activism? Is the first part of the question. Are companies doing it because it's the cool, quote unquote, thing to do? I guess the second question. Or do brands truly have a meaningful effect on changing potentially outdated mindsets that seem to be more commonly found nowadays? Is it just a way to sell more shoes and clothes, or is it something the company truly gets behind? Also, what is your favorite silhouette or pack that got behind an issue and brought something more than a cool sneaker to the minds of consumers?"
Wow.
That's a big essay, APA style format question.
Man. Yeah. Man. Good question, though.
Very good question. Very good question. So I'll read his lengthy answer, and then we'll go back and break down the question and we'll work through it. So he says, tough to truly answer. He sends us questions that are tough to answer that he can't even answer.
I like them.
That's how you know they're good.
That's good.
He says, "I can definitely say I stand with Nike in making Colin Kaepernick the face of this year's campaigns. However, I do know that they nearly shunned him not to risk their contract with the NFL. So I guess that's kind of a interesting relationship they have. In a similar vein, I love that Adidas has continuous releases with Parley to help reduce plastic pollution with using non-virgin plastics in all products, something Nike tried years ago with Steve Nash's Trash Talks." Was that an Air Max 90? I think he also says, "I know both Adi and Nike have their respective create positivity and equality campaigns. I know through social ambassadors, they do their best to get into the community and affect change on grassroots levels," which is good. "But something nags at me to want to ask and see how much of these footwear and streetwear packs profits actually go into a channel to fund more change," which is a very valid question. For my favorite silhouette, personally, it is my 2012 BHM Air Max 1s. Mm-hmm. Is that the black and white one?
Yeah.
Because not only is it a crazy colorway, but It is from the infancy of Nike's new campaign to affect change and inspire positive action. And I love being part of history and story of what's happening. Okay. Thank you for that essay. That's definitely an A-plus essay. So I guess the first part of the question is, how does CGS see footwear as a platform for social justice and activism? Slash, are companies doing it because it's the cool thing to do, or do brands fully have a meaningful effect on potentially changing mindsets? This kind of conversation has come up in the past with us. I remember us talking about it when Drake released his, what was it, God's Plan video. And a lot of people were upset, and they were saying, first of all, that he didn't do it in Toronto. Second of all, saying he just gave $1 million to a bunch of people or whatever it was, just for the good publicity. And to that, I say, I mean, yeah, it comes with it, but at the same time, he still did it. So intentions aside, he still did it at the end of the day. So to me, it's really hard to tell. Like, this, they're obviously a business, so business is always at the forefront, I would think. But if you're donating, if you're like providing awareness for these causes, et cetera, et cetera, it's never really a bad thing. Intentions aside, like, I still think it's a really good thing. But what do you guys think? Do you think they're just doing it because it's the cool thing to do, or like, you think they actually care? Like, we're talking about, like, maybe Nike's Equality Pack, or like he said, Adidas Parley Pack, or maybe even Dornbacher Packs, stuff like that.
I think there is, like, a push behind, like, the movement.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, with whether it's, like, Dornbacher or like, you know, with the whole equality thing, like, getting it out there. And I think with Nike being, like, you know, probably the best kind of, you know, social symbol out there. You know, everyone can relate to it. And you know what I mean? They'll rock it. You know what I mean? So I think there is definitely meaning behind all these kind of movements.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a way to make it. It's not because it's the cool thing to do, but it's a way to make doing good cool, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like you said, like the BHM Air Max, like it's a sick colorway, and it represents something really strong, and it's a cool thing to wear, but also the message behind it is really, really positive. So it's a cool, it's making positivity, inclusiveness, all that stuff, it's making it cool, which is really what you want. Alvin, what do you think?
Well, even stepping away from all the bigger campaigns, even if we look locally at the Kickback, and with what Jamal just recently did with Nike, with the Give Fresh Air movement. That's dope, man. Like, you know, it's making donating, I guess you could say, cool.
Yeah, trendy. Like, it's,
But at the same time, it's like reaching out to the right people who understand what's going on and who are actually passionate about the community. And kind of like, I don't know, my thought process towards that whole Give Fresh Air thing was that, It'll help to reach out to, you know, youth who can't afford the stuff that we can buy ourselves. And it's also a dope way to connect with them. Cause obviously, like, right now, everyone's a sneakerhead.
It's the cool thing.
It's the cool thing. Yeah. And like, what better way to connect with youth and motivate them to do good things than to give back to them through sneakers, you know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely dope. I mean, I feel like going that venue is crazy. And if it'll help anybody, then I'm all for it. Doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah. Like, whether there's ulterior motives behind it, if you're doing good at the end of the day, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Like, it's really
all about positivity.
All about positivity. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're a business. So obviously there is, they have to make money, and I'm sure there's some way that it's going to make them look good. So they're going to make money off of it. Yeah, of course. But at the end of the day, if you're doing good, I can't ever see a negative spin being taken on it, at least from that sense. And then the second part of his question, what is your favorite silhouette or pack that got behind an issue and brought something more than a cool sneaker to the minds of consumers? So like he said, his was the 2012 Air Max 1 BHM. They were polka dot, right?
Yeah,
it's like got a polka dot finish-ish.
I think I think the lines, it's sort of like it's like a code.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Do you have them?
I have them.
Yeah, you do have them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I think that's the whole Yeah, it's like the black and white. Black and white Air Max.
I think my favorite pack is probably Dornbacher. Just because it is very grassroots in the sense that it's an Oregon-based hospital, which is obviously where Nike originated and still has its headquarters. Mm-hmm. It's children in the hospital with a strong hand in designing the shoes. And then a lot of the profits from those shoes do go back to the hospital. Like, they've made that very public very often. And then from that pack, Dornbacher 13, because the kid who has it suffers from Crohn's disease, which I also have. So I actually don't even have that shoe, but I would like it. So that's probably my favorite. What about you guys? From these, like BHM, Equality, Parley, anything come to mind?
Oh, man. The Equality pack's mad cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that movement. That movement is like dope.
Yeah. Because
I feel like Nike was the first one to to do it up that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was either that or Adidas. It was very similar timing, though. Very close. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, because
I'm thinking of the Equality was the black and white one, right? What was the one last year that Adidas did for Gay Pride? They had like the Aniki. Oh, they always the Aniki. Do like yeah.
Yeah, well, but that was the first year they did it.
Oh, Be True is the Nike one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I thought of too.
Yeah,
so yeah. Be True. That movement is dope because essentially it's helping a what do you call that? A section of society just trying to bring light to it and trying to show the positivities of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like just not putting anyone down, like encouraging people to come out and just be themselves kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about that, and they always come out with dope colors and that anyway. One of my favorites I feel like was when the VaporMax.
I was going to say that too with the
rainbow full navy and the rainbow well sole.
Yeah. those are
crazy. Super nice. But yeah, man, like either way, like it doesn't matter, like whatever movement they have, it's like they always, yes, they make money for sure. They make money.
Yeah.
From us for sure.
Yeah.
But either way, it's like, it's shedding, it usually always sheds a light, a positive light on something that people usually have.
Yeah. They're marginalized a negative or connotation they're discriminated on. Against or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, if they want to use it for marketing, cool. It'll help spread the word.
It's
so
a win-win.
Like,
it's definitely a win for the community, and it's a win for
it's
Nike
definitely a win
as well.
For Nike,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So
my second place, well, I think Joel is still thinking. N7 is really good too.
The Aboriginal
one. Yeah,
yeah. Those are
just
sick.
Like I had like a whole couple classes in university of just about like marginalized Aboriginals, and like that community is it's very discriminated against. Like extremely, they have a lot of It's not nice. So it's very cool. And a lot of the N7 stuff has Canadian roots to it too. Because
the KD4s.
Yeah. The Aboriginal roots in Canada are like super strong. Like I think the Kyrie 4 was inspired by somewhere in the prairies. Some lacrosse team or something like that.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. All right, Joel. You've had your time to think about it.
I don't know. there's so many. There's so many to pick from, right? And I don't know. I'm probably going to say the same thing with the whole Be True Equality thing too.
Yeah.
I like the Air Max Zeros. It's like all white.
Oh yeah.
And the airbag was just
the rainbow bubble.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, those are clean.
It's like a pearlized white on the upper. Yeah.
I really like those. I really like those. But yeah, I'm probably going to have to say the whole Be True movement.
I agree. There's no wrong answer for this fire.
There is
question,
no.
So everyone gets it right. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, like Lion and a Pickaxe, maybe not as long, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up is the CGS Picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's phrase...
Cute.
Let's get Alvin to go first this week. What do you have for us, brother?
I have the New Balance 1500, The Trip. It is a collabo. I'm going to say this hella wrong. If anyone's German out there, please correct us on EEE. It's a collaboration with a German retailer called 43 Einhalb. Einhalb. I don't know. I apologize.
Can you spell that?
I'm so sorry.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm going to 43 Einhalb. So it's spelt Einhalb.
Okay.
I should probably say more harsher.
Einhalb.
Einhalb.
There you go. That's probably it.
I am so sorry. For anyone who's German, please correct me.
Please
apologize.
Let us know how to say it.
I'm so sorry. Please don't hate me. Anyway, It's a New Balance 1500. It's inspired. Oh, Trudy's out tonight for sure, dog. It's inspired by life's journey and in honor of the 1500's 30th anniversary as well.
Nice.
Only thing that sucks about it is there's only 6 pairs releasing worldwide.
Wow. Oh man, and so there's already 3 of us. So that's half of them.
What, for real? This is for sure a trip because, like, damn, man, like 6 people are gonna cop this shoe, and it's not even fair. Anyway. The shoe features like neutral colors. So you got gray, like a camel, a brown, a lighter gray, and then just a white midsole. Super, 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 super clean, like suede, like butter.
Mm-hmm. Supple even.
Oh.
Supple.
And apparently it comes with a book. I like books.
Oh.
I can read. And right? And the insoles on the inside say the trip and then New Balance. Man. If this was more than, 6 pairs worldwide, definitely a scoop.
6 pairs.
But,
that's crazy.
You know, I think it says here that it's going to be a raffle at 3043 Heinhalb.
That sounded good. That sounded
so,
good.
So, and it's going to pop off on April 23rd, 2019. And good luck to whoever wins, man, because these are some dope New Balances for sure.
So it's called, like, it's inspired by life. Are all these colors supposed to be like is the brown like dirt,
like our journey,
and then like
life? Yeah.
maybe green is like
the grass.
Yeah. See,
yeah,
right? And the gray is like the asphalt or concrete.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
different shades of concrete
or cloudy sky. Sure. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah, like, ooh, an overcast day. Yeah.
Overcast, right?
And apparently it comes with a compass too, which is
sick.
Super cool, man. It
can guide you on your trip through life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very cute.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very, very cute. How do you rate it?
It's a super scoopty whoop, man. But obviously,
you're just saying that because there's only 6 of them.
Obviously, it's not going to happen, so it's going to be a cute.
Hype beast.
It's going to be a cute for me. Yeah, for sure. I'm the hypest of the beasts. Don't know. Yeah, man. Super cute. I'll say super cute because I'm definitely not going to grab these.
Yeah, clearly.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go next. My pick was revealed, I think it was over the weekend, when Jordan Brand revealed their summer 2019 lineup. They had a bunch of actually really cool colorways and a bunch of old silhouettes. But something very striking that caught my eye was the Flyknit 4 pack that is coming out.
Ooh.
All 4 of them, first of all, are really, really cool. Obviously, the one that caught my eye the most was the Volt one, because Volt. But they just did a really good job. So if you haven't seen the shoe, the full Flyknit upper on a shaped like a Jordan 4, mm-hmm, with a regular Jordan 4 outsole and midsole with the plastic wings and the plastic heel tab, it looks like. It actually might be a Flyknit heel tab. I can't even tell. No, it's plastic. But yeah, really, really cool. I think they did a super good job on the shoe itself. Like the shape is super proper. Like even just the different directions they had the Flyknit, woven in, it gives a lot of dimension and it gives a lot of shape to the shoe overall. And you can even see, like, if there's no lines, like there's no stitching in the upper, but you can still see like the lines. I don't even know if that makes sense, mm-hmm, but you can still see the paneling in the Jordan 4. And the colors they chose were super vibrant, super off theme usually for a Jordan, mm-hmm, 4. You don't really see that every day. And the Volt one is just nuts. Like, I have that custom Volt Jordan 4.
I feel like you need these. You need
so them, I kind of want this. Yeah. I feel like I spoke it into existence like 4 years early kind of thing. But yeah, I like these a lot. So I think these will probably be a scoop. I feel like retail is going to be something stupid, like 330 or...
because of the knit.
Flyknit's not cheap. But if it ends up at the outlet, which I have a feeling it will, these will be scoopeded.
Yeah.
So
the patterns on the Flyknit give it that reptilian.
Yeah, man.
Kind of vibe.
It's
nice.
It's like ribbed almost. Yeah. I don't even know what to call it. Yeah.
Scaly kind of.
It looks like a python upper.
Yeah.
I don't even
know.
Exactly. They're probably so comfy, man.
Yeah.
Like my Flyknit ones are super comfortable.
True.
Yeah. I think I want these. Definitely a lot better than the Flyknit Jordan 3, which never even really happened. Like, I think they released one colorway and then it just never even came out again. Yeah, it was like a black, blacky gray.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to say a scoop from the outlet, which is my answer to most of my picks.
Super
Joel,
nice.
Round it out. What you got?
Okay, so, you know, I had a very very crazy weekend with the little kids and stuff. So my pick would be the Kid Monstrous Nike Air Max 95s.
You like those Jomar? Sick. They're your face.
Yeah.
Jomar is like a lot, eh? Bugging out just like the eyeball on the shoe. it's like, you know, earth tone-y kind of colors on it. It's got that, I don't know, it's like that Air Max 90
the fighter jets.
Yeah, the fighter jet with the eyeball and the teeth. And it's got that monstrous look, monstrous feel. You know what I mean? So, you know, the colors just pop. It's got like neon laces. It's got like a turquoise blue sock liner. Even the Air Max logo, it's sort of got like a claw marks on it. So it's got like scratches,
like scratched kind
of
thing.
Out. Yeah. A lot of detail on these shoes for a GS, GS pair.
Very rare.
There's no release date on them. I don't see a release date.
No, I didn't see one either.
Going for 90 US for kids, but I'll probably scoop them up.
Yeah, they're dope.
We'll see, man.
Very cool. The only thing I don't like about grade school sized 95s is that sole.
Yeah,
it's
got that 93 kind of feel
like
to it.
It's like a small little bubble, but it's and it doesn't even have the 4 foot bubble like the 95s have. Yeah. I don't know why they can't just make the 95 outsole smaller.
Yeah,
they had to change it completely.
Yeah,
but the shoe itself is crazy.
It's a crazy shoe. It's a crazy shoe.
I hope these come in men's.
Yeah,
it's like a Warhawk 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is. Yeah, very cool. Jomar, is that a scoop for you?
Yeah.
You like those?
Whoa. Oh, man. You're not even going to be in grade school sizes by the time these come out.
Real talk, though.
What size are your feet now, Jomar?
5.5.
You're getting there, man.
Women's 7. You're almost there.
You're getting up there. You've got 1.5 sizes to go, and you're in men's sizes.
What?
And then you can share shoes with me.
Ooh.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Jokes.
next up. This week in Kicks, now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. Some interesting stories this week. Very interesting stories this week.
Let's get it.
I'm going to skip the first one that I have here because it's a long one. I'm just still tired from reading Line in a Pickaxe. This is fire round question. So we'll start on a light note. A Kanye West album may be hidden inside your Yeezy Boost. Did you hear about this, guys?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So you're going to pay $300
to cut it open.
Chop up your shoe.
To chop up a shoe?
There's nothing.
Yesterday, Monday.
Wait, why?
Monday, I'm going to tell you, Jomar.
Watch.
Monday, April 1st, yesterday.
April Fools.
Sneaker Freaker had a photo go viral of a cut in half Yeezy 700 geode with a little space inside for a USB. A little pink USB is inside, and it says Yandy on the side.
Yeah.
And they said, apparently the 50 pairs that were sold at Kanye's lemonade stand in Calabasas or wherever he had his little lemonade stand have a hidden album inside. People are selling this apparent album on eBay for thousands of dollars. And then it was an April Fool's joke, obviously.
Obviously.
But this was a good one. It almost, honestly, almost got me just because it seems like something Kanye West would do.
Yeah,
then after I saw the quote unquote track list and there was like a Taylor Swift feature and I was like, no, okay, this is starting to sound a lot less real.
Yeah.
is that track called The Grammys?
But... Yeah, the reason that I think it went so viral is because it was so creative and unique. Yeah. And a lot of people started to play along with it. Like, I don't know if you guys follow Eric Whiteblack on Instagram. No. He's like a New York-based, basically Supreme content creator. He does, like, for Supreme. And he actually cut one in half. Like, he's one of those guys with, like, too much money. And he cut one in half, and he took a video, and he, like, took a USB out. He's like, I got one. No. And, like, it was one of those. Like, people were playing along with it, and it was... It was good. This is one of the better executed April Fool's pranks I can think of.
Man.
Because it seems like something Kanye would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would just leave the USB in there and just wear the shoe. Yeah.
You don't even know if it's in there. You got to cut it open to find out.
There's like, I don't need to know. I don't need to know, bro. Like, I'm not cutting up a shoe.
I wonder if anybody actually fell did it.
I wonder.
And chopped up their
There's no geodes. Way. there's always one person.
There's always gonna be.
I don't know. Like, do you guys remember when Yeezus came out and he had like the contest for the Red Octobers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why it was kind of like it made sense. Like, when Yeezus came out on CD, you came with a code and you put it on his website and you were entered into a raffle to win
the Red Octobers.
Yeah, back when they were unreleased. Mm-hmm. So it just sounded p- potentially real.
Yeah.
For the 30 seconds that I was reading it, and then I looked at the date and I was like, damn it. That could have been a cool marketing thing. Yeah. Next up, we'll do Supreme Court passes on Jordan Jumpman logo lawsuit. Did you know that this was even under discussion? That the Jumpman,
not until I saw it.
No.
The Jumpman was being sued for their Jumpman.
Wow.
So basically what happened, this guy named, what was his name? Jacobus Rentmeester.
Rentmeester.
I don't know where that...
43 Einhall.
Yeah. He might work at 43 Einhall. He took a very infamous photo of Michael Jordan in 1984.
Yeah.
And Nike paid him $150 for this cover photo in Life magazine. And it was basically Jordan dunking on an outdoor rim in what looks a lot like the Jumpman pose.
Yeah, man.
And then the year after, or 2 years later, I guess this was 1984, so it would have been like 3 years later when the Jordan 3 came out, and then the Jumpman appeared on it. Mr. Rentmeester was like, hey, that looks like my picture. And he sued Jordan Brand for his picture, and the Supreme Court said, no, they don't. They don't owe you nothing.
Wow.
I didn't know what was happening. I don't know why it took Mr. Rentmeester 35 years to file a lawsuit.
I was going
to
say, did he do it right then and there?
There's no way that the U.S. court system is that low.
Yeah.
Or sorry, slow. That it took 30 years to finally get a decision. I don't know for sure, but that's just my guess. But if you look at the picture, we'll probably put it on Instagram. It's pretty similar. I think he's got a case. But like Alvin said before, I mean, he was paid by Nike for the picture, so it's not his picture anymore.
It's Michael Jordan.
It's Michael Jordan. It's not even like it's a picture of somebody else. It's not even a picture of you. It's America, man. They'll sue for anything.
America.
Land of opportunity, man. I guess we'll do the long one now. So, do you guys know who Michael Avenatti is? Avenatti?
No.
So he's facing up to 100 years in prison over a Nike extortion scheme. He was the lawyer for Stormy Daniels.
True.
In the Donald Trump
That guy.
Extravaganza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That thing, yeah. And he's been arrested for trying to extort $20 million from Nike. So here's what happened.
Waste, man.
So he tweeted... one evening, tomorrow at 11 a.m., we will be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school / college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that we have uncovered. This criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball.
True. Wow.
So he said he was going to do this, and then the very next morning is when he was arrested. Wow. Literally the next morning. He was quoted as saying, I'll take $10 billion of your client's market cap. I'm not effing around, is what he said to a Nike attorney. So basically, I think the idea was he has this whole scheme in his mind that Nike's been doing some fraudulent matters, and he wants Nike or somebody from Nike to pay him $20 million to not reveal it, I suppose.
Are you dumb, fam?
So he was taken into custody and released from custody. And then he had another very long statement that he released. And he says, contrary to Nike's claims yesterday, when they obviously denied everything, he says they have not been cooperating with investigators for over a year, unless you count lying in response to subpoenas and withholding documents as quote unquote cooperating. Wow, this guy is sassy.
Wow.
They are trying to divert attention from their own crimes. Ask DeAndre Ayton and Nike about the cash payments to his mother and others. Nike's attempts at diversion and cover-up will fail miserably once prosecutors realize they have been played by Nike and their lawyers. This reaches the highest levels of Nike. Bull Bull, who plays for Oregon, and his handlers also received large sums from Nike. The receipts are clear as day. A lot of people at Nike will have to account for their criminal conduct, starting with, I don't even know who these people are, Carlton DeBose, and moving higher up. I don't even know who that is.
Watch out, Carlton. It's not unusual.
DeBose.
The diversion charade they orchestrated against me will be exposed.
Sure.
Sounds very like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
sounding. Nike seems like one of those companies that vary by the book, as far as I can tell from the consumer side. Like, vary by the book. And I think, I mean, what it sounds like is he's accusing Nike of paying NCAA and high school players to wear their stuff or to endorse Nike. And then obviously in hopes that they'll sign with Nike when they graduate.
Yeah.
Or they'll just.
They've been doing that though.
It's yeah.
Like all those leagues that they run, like they get free Nike stuff.
Yeah. So
you're going to tell them that that's sponsored. The wrong thing.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, DeAndre Ayton ended up signing with Puma.
Puma.
So Nike clearly didn't pay him that much. Yeah, yeah. Which doesn't make too much sense to me.
Yeah.
But it seems like this is going to be an unfolding case.
So he's
going to
hit up Under Armour too? Because I feel like there's so much things that he could say. Like, all the brands run leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all have their own little sort of methods.
Like,
and
you know what I mean? So it's just like, you can say that about any brand. You know what I mean? So it's just like, okay.
I think his accusations are literally Nike paying and funneling money to these players and to their families or their handlers or their agents or whoever, which is pretty serious, like, especially by NCAA standards.
Yeah,
like, you could literally probably be banned as a brand from the...
Well, Nike's the jerseys right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's per team, school. Each school has... But Nike is very prominent, extreme. They have all the big teams.
Yeah. North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Michigan, everybody. Like you probably won't... you'll probably be hearing about this from us in the future, because it's definitely going to be a thing as we watch it unfold. Sure. Speaking of college basketball, Zion Williamson's blowout Nike sneakers were valued at $250,000.
Like the actual sneaker?
Like the sneaker.
Like someone took it and sold it?
They were valued. So basically, I saw this video of, it was Ken Golden of Golden Auctions. Don't know this guy. And he was interviewed by TMZ, so obviously a very credible source. And he said that these could be the most expensive shoes ever in history.
For what? You can't use them.
Just as a collector item. So he thinks that...
He's done nothing.
Very true.
Yep.
I don't know if he meant now or in the future. I don't know. But he said that if they were to be sold at auction, it would probably be Nike versus some random crazy rich collector who just wants to own a piece of history.
True.
And then the bids would go up. So just for reference, Michael Jordan's flu game, Jordan 12, from the game he played that was given to like that kid in the locker room and then was sold 20 some odd years later, went for $100,000. That was a real thing.
Wow.
I think that was last year. That's Michael Jordan. Greatest player ever.
Yeah.
One of the craziest performances ever.
It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that $250,000 valuation, but he says right now, today in the world, it's the most infamous sneaker.
Definitely.
In the world right now.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You guys agree with that?
What, $25,000?
Right now?
$250,000? Yeah. So $250,000.
I was watching a thing on, I guess it was just like Instagram black hole, and it was Gilbert Arenas, kind of dissecting Zion's game, and he was like, "Man, like once you get to a different level, which is the NBA, his game might not necessarily transition." You know what I mean? And I was like, "Yo, this is so true.
It's true."
Because, like, there's guys that are his size. Well, I guess right now he plays as a power forward.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So he's undersized. And if you watch his game, like, he doesn't know how to post up or nothing.
Like, yeah.
So where's your skill at? I mean, yo, he's crazy athletic.
Extremely.
Very athletic.
Big. Stupid athletic. Like, and he's heavy. Big. But the skill level that you're going to see in the NBA compared to what you already see in the NCAA.
Yeah.
Is not the same. You know what I mean? Defense is going to be different. So just like, again, that's why I keep saying he's done nothing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm not taking away from his skill. But I'm just saying, like, yo, a lot of stuff can happen.
It's also super rare that college prospects even turn into anything, to be honest. Like, even just obviously a small sample size. Yeah, but like, look at the Raptors. Like, they have no first round picks, I don't think, on their roster. Yeah. At all.
Just on their starting roster.
Yeah, it's development. Yeah. And like, you learn after you graduate, or you stay for 4 years and then you go to the G League. Like, it's, you learn as you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this guy, whatever his name was, Ken Golden, said he thinks that this is the most infamous sneaker in the world right now, obviously because it's not just pertaining to sneakerheads or basketball fans. It's literally everybody saw this happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a huge thing. It was super viral. Mm-hmm. And I agreed with that. Do you guys all agree with that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because
for sure. Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now.
So that's what I asked on our soul poll today. So I ask, is there a more infamous sneaker in the world right now than Zion's torn PG 2.5? Mm-hmm. You guys all say no, this is definitely the most infamous, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Can't think of anything else.
Nah.
So what do you think the response was
from 90
the soul poll?
Percent.
Yeah, high up there.
Said no, yes. There's nothing more infamous right now.
Yes.
There's nothing more infamous. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a lot closer than that.
Ooh,
it was 62% said it was the PG 2.5. 38% said it's got to be something else.
Wow.
So what's
and
the something
I think
else?
That's what I that's why I posted the follow up because I was that, like, yeah. What's the something else then? Because I can't think of anything else right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get a lot of responses at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think until you actually think about it, because if you, as we started this conversation, you were like $23,000, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I mean. It's the most infamous. Like, you can't think of a more famous shoe in the world right now. Like, Rushy Grant, not to call you out, said a Bred 1, LOL. Obviously didn't answer the, understand the question fully. Which Bred 1?
Yeah.
which single Bred 1? Rav Jane said the flu game 12s and the free throw line 3s, obviously. And then we're talking about now, but those are obviously good answers.
Mm.
And all the other answers clearly did not answer understand the question either, so no one could really think of a more infamous sneaker or famous sneaker in the world right now. So I mean, I don't think $250,000, but he's on to something. I think if it went up for sale, you'd see a big
maybe like $25.
You'd see a big budget being dropped on that.
Yeah.
It'd be a cool display piece at Nike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sure. Would Nike want to display a broken shoe? I feel like they would just throw it out or hide it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they would want to, like,
I guess it's a part of their history.
Show
though.
Off. Yeah, that's true. Especially if he signs. Yeah. The thing is, if he, like, signs to whatever team and it's he has an amazing, ifs, yeah, man. Has an amazing career, that shoe will probably be priceless. Like, it'll be like a
then
flu
you
game.
Can do
yeah.
$250,000.
Then it'll be a flu game if he has, like, a LeBron like year or yeah. career.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't assume that before he's even graduated.
Yeah, you can't pin anything.
Yeah,
not at all. Like, he hasn't even been drafted. He hasn't proven anything. Like,
you didn't even win a championship in NCAA.
Yeah, he went out in what, the Elite Eight? Like, come on, man.
I mean, cool. But again, like, he's really done nothing yet.
Yeah.
Again, not to take away from his skills.
He's a bunch of dunks.
But
he's a good dunker.
Crazy dunks.
Very
crazy in-game dunks.
Dunker. But not $250,000 dunker. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. Alvin's shaking his head, but we had a busy week of happenings. I don't know about pickups. Anybody pick anything up?
Yes.
Nope.
What'd you pick up?
Ooh.
It's a long story.
We got time.
Got lots of time.
Did you see line in a pickaxe question? We got all this time.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
If we got time for him, we got time for you.
The very, very good friend of the show, basically our brother, MD Kovacs.
Facts.
Out in Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Jersey.
New Jersey. Hit me up via DM and he's like, yo, you want these? And it was a picture of the Dave White Air Jordan 1s.
Nice.
Literally, like, yo, pristine. I already have a pair.
Mm-hmm.
But for the price he was giving them to me for, I couldn't pass it up.
Heck no.
But I didn't want to be greedy. You know, I'm all about the community. So I hit up the homie, Arvin Baluyot.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same size as me. So I was like, yo, listen, this is what's going down. The homie, MD Kovacs, is hooking up the Dave Whites for this price.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, dog, done. Like, yo, don't even worry. Just let me know when to send you money.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, sold. Like, I'll buy those. Done.
Yeah.
2 days later, I get another DM from the homie from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, got a pair of sale ones. I'm like, fuck.
Holy.
I want those. Yo, literally pristine. Like, he probably wore them for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're amazing. Wow. And he's like, I'll give them to you for this price. And man, mm-hmm. I couldn't say no for that price.
Done.
Basically fan price, man. Both shoes fan price, like ridiculously generous, this guy. So yeah, pick those two up. I got them last week. Arvin's probably going to come pick up his pair soon, but, shout out to Mr. MD Kovacs, man, our brother from Jersey for being so generous. And then I seen that he picked up some crazy, some Air Maxes. So, you know, it's going towards something.
That's
so,
what it was. One of those. Man.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
No other pickups to announce. Me neither. But we did have a busy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aside from Joe Mar's very sick ball tournament where he came first place. If you're not first, you're last. We attended Nike's Department of Unimaginable in celebration of Air Max Month. It was very fun. So essentially what it was an installation in Liberty Village, downtown Toronto, celebrating all things Air Max.
Yeah.
It was a very futuristic and I don't even know what to call it. It was almost like a secret agent laboratory vibes to it. I don't know how better to describe the theming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when you got there, you checked in at a desk and behind it was a bunch of old computers and like wires hanging everywhere. On the outside of it, it said computer repair. Mm-hmm. Air. Did I stress that? Repair shop.
Air.
Did I stress that enough? Repair shop. So when you walk in, you see all these computers and you check in. And they take your picture and put it on an ID card for you. Mm-hmm. And I think it just says, what does it say? It says certified underneath your name. Yeah.
So lit.
Felt very certified. Yep. Nice. They take your jacket, you walk in, and the first room you would encounter was a very futuristic feeling room full of 720s. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of upcoming and previous 720 colorways. Mm-hmm. And the next little room as you keep walking through this maze was I don't even know what to call it, like a computer gadget, very like retro futuristic with like floppy disks in front of a computer with like Nike flashing and I don't know. It was very cool, real little room. And then the final room before you got to the event space, I guess you would want to call it, was a photography room. I don't even know what it was themed at, to be honest. It seemed very photography centric.
Yeah.
For sure. There was a bunch of air theming everywhere. You had like inflated plastic bags on the wall. You had that cool little cyclone funnel thing. Where you could write your name on a little air ball and put it in. It would just float around in this cool little machine. And then around the other side, you had like a photography studio almost. So you had like a bunch of old photography equipment. You had a projector like you had in school. Yeah. Teachers would make you write the notes from the projector on the wall. And then on the left side, Canada Got Soul's Pride and Joy, where our shoes displayed along the wall.
Yeah, man.
Kind of giving people a look at some previous Air Max models, like the best of the best, I guess. Like some iconic pairs that a lot of people would never get a chance to see. Mm-hmm. So what did we have? We had Silver Bullets, Air Max Neon 95,
Infrared
90s, Air Max 1, the 6, the Northern Lights 720s.
And the Vapor Max.
And the original Vapor Max, the white and red. Yeah.
Nice.
And then above it said the name and then donated by Canada Got Soul, which was obviously like
so sick.
Insane.
So sick.
And then we were lucky enough, actually, Alvin was there every day. He loved that place.
I had to.
And I just wanted to see his shoes. He's like, that's mine. Anytime I saw someone snapping from there, I was like, that's my silver bullet. But yeah, so we were lucky enough on Sunday actually to be put into, I don't know if we were like inserted into one of the classes.
Yeah, shout out to
by
the
our
Connect,
friends
man.
At Nike.
Yeah, amazing.
And it was very cool. It's called Photography of Air, and I'll let Alvin take you guys through that.
It was, oh man, so each day during the weekend they had a different workshop. So I guess the first day was creating air. So
basically
To sculpt your own Air Max and basically do your thing. And then the second day, which was Saturday, was like a painting workshop.
Yep.
Which looked pretty fun and dope as well. And then they were
painting with air.
Yes.
Like they were like pouring paint on the canvas.
Using like hair dryers.
Hair dryers. Yeah. To blow it around and shape it. Yeah. Very cool. It looked like jelly.
It was sick. Yeah.
It did.
And then the day we went was Photography of Air. And we walk in, there's like a setup of like a few photo booths or like photo setups on the right side. And then there's like stools set up with the lab coats, some dope pens, and a notebook. Nice. So we each got like a lab coat, a notebook, and a dope ass pen. And then they had Vonnie Lord, which is a local photographer who came from literally like self-taught photography. Give us some pointers, tell us where she was from, how she did it, and just told us to keep grinding and always have a purpose to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it was dope, man. Afterwards, we were given some film cameras.
Yep.
Just because with film, you can't really edit.
Yeah, it's
like a one shot, one take, shoot, anything. So it, you don't really want to waste the film. So you always want to have. So it was trying to accentuate what Vonnie said in terms of like always have a purpose for what you want to shoot, because you never want to waste that specific film. You always want to have a good shot
and let it be raw. Like let it be real.
Yeah.
Like don't edit it. Don't go back and swipe through. Yeah, and find the perfect picture.
You can't edit it, which tripped me out. I was like, man, that's so true. Like
every time I took a picture, I was going to look at the screen.
Just
have it. And then you're like, oh, I can't see anything.
I probably took a stupid, ugly shot. But if you look at her Instagram, it's just like most of the most recent posts are all film photography.
Yeah.
And they look like as if they were edited or done on digital, right? Like her skill is like stupid. Like I don't know. She definitely inspired me to try to do some things, but crazy fun. After we did that little film session, they let us do our own photo shoot with like a little crew.
Team Purple.
It was myself, Lawrence. We had a coach. Keith was there, good friend of the show, obviously. Yeah, our cousin.
Yep.
We met homegirl Steph there. And another homegirl, Sam. Shout out to Team Purple. We killed it. And then even Vonnie hopped in on some of our photos.
Yep.
And we got to put on some Nike gear. We all had 720s on. We had some Nike apparel on just to match with it. And yo, it was fun, man.
Yeah, definitely we got to like, set up our own little
photo shoot.
Yeah, we all got to like theme the backdrop. They had a bunch of different props. Like, what did they have? They had a bubble blower. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of balloons on strings. They had
obviously
inflatable chairs. Yeah, very clear air themed.
Yeah.
And then, we got to like set up our own little set, like be art directors and photographers.
It was
and
so sick.
Yeah. And they printed some out, emailed some to us, and it was very cool. So yeah, shout out to Nike. Shout out to all our friends at Nike for including us, first of all, because that's incredible. Like
such an honor.
When they hit us up at the beginning of the month, I think we were all like, whoa.
What?
Like, yeah.
Crazy.
Who stuff, me? Like it was all a dream for real though. Like crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
Hopefully they don't forget to give us those plaques that we requested with our names on them.
Donated by Canada Got Soul.
Yeah. but yeah, thank you once again. Not going to lie, like we said on the previous pod on Air Max Day, when we did hear about what was going on with Air Max month and day, seemed kind of underwhelming. But that day, I don't know if it was just because we were so involved, but was more than worth the wait.
Oh, for sure.
It was super dope.
Yes.
Now we are on to EEE. Errors, edits, and e-messages. Not too many this week, but we did get a bunch of replies for scores on their Air Max quiz from some listeners.
Okay.
Nice. So some notable names that popped up in our feed. T.W. Deprez.
Okay.
9 out of 18.
Oh,
it's pretty solid.
Nice. 50%. Solid.
Yeah.
That's good. Better than I did for sure.
Yeah. Combined, actually.
Yeah, for real.
All three. next up, Sneaker Life Husband.
Hey, friend of the show. Aaron, let's get it.
3 out of 18.
Yo, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
A little bit more on Canada Got Soul's level.
Yeah. I think you got more than me, though, still. So good job.
JB Goldstock.
Yo, Josh.
Mr. Air Max Madness.
We get.
8 out of 18.
Ooh.
It's pretty solid. He must have done a lot of research for Air Max Madness.
Yeah, learned a little bit.
And last up, the show off, Ryan Swanger.
Hey.
18 out of 18.
No. What?
But,
so he says. We'll have to do a live one.
We'll do a live one.
Yeah, one time, and we'll just see. We'll see if he's all that. We'll see if you're about that noise.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect over here. What was that wrestler? The Million Dollar Man or was there Mr. Perfect?
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Mr. Perfect. Yeah.
Still Mr. Perfect.
And then we did have actually an error that was pointed out by also T.W. Deprez.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
So he says, what up, Canada fam?
Yo.
Possible EEE. Yeah. Just listening to the Air Max episode with quiz answers. I thought the 93 was originally called the 270 due to the 270 degrees of visible air, not the 180. So I did slip up. when we were doing the quiz. You guys still got it wrong. but it was the 93, not the 180, which is why one of the 270 colorways was the Dusty Cactus.
Yeah.
The 180 and the 270 did, or sorry, the 180 and the 93 did inspire the 270.
Facts.
That's where I got slipped up. Sick. So thank you, T.W. DePrez.
Word.
Nice. If you guys hear any mistakes, or you want to just chat with us.
We're for sure getting some after this episode.
Oh, for sure. This has been a mistake-ridden disappointment of an episode we're doing right now. Let us know, and we'll make sure to call ourselves out. Mm-hmm. Next up is NSR, not sneaker-related. Mm-hmm. So we talk about sneakers a lot, so in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. Mm-hmm. It was my turn to choose something this week, and mine's a pretty short question. But it's definitely a heated debate could ensue depending on some answers. Oof. So I'm going to start the timer as soon as I'm done asking the question. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to talk for 30 seconds.
Let's get it.
So basically, my question is, who's the best superhero? And it could be Marvel or DC.
Wolverine?
Yeah. Wolverine doesn't do anything.
What do you mean, dog? Adamantium claws?
No way.
You can cut through anything and he heals. No, he's pretty much immortal.
No, he's not immortal. If you take off his head, he's dead. I guarantee you that.
No, it's going to grow back. Are you dumb?
I think the coolest one is Captain America, but Thor is definitely the best one. He's a god. He's a god of thunder.
Yeah, but it's not fair.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. He's not fair. He would literally smash his head in. What do you think, Jomar? Who's the best superhero?
Black Panther for me.
Black Panther. Black Panther. What about you, Joel?
I don't know. Godzilla.
Wrong.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Godzilla. Godzilla. Oh no, Godzilla.
That's the Asian in you.
Straight. What?
Godzilla. Oh no, Godzilla. If you think we're wrong about the best superhero, let us know who the best superhero is. We definitely needed more than 30 seconds to talk about that because that could be a whole main discussion.
That's a whole pod right there.
That could be a whole pod. Next up, promos. So we have the YYC Soldier Sneaker Swap
Yaga
number 5.
Oh, sick.
Going down on May 25th, so just over a month away in Calgary. Runs from 12 YYC. To 5 at the Chinese Cultural Center once again Calgary. Nice. So if you're in the area, if you're on the West Coast, if you're in anywhere West Coast area, make sure you attend that. We got a lot of expos. The Ultimate Sneaker Show at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, the MTCC. That's a big venue.
Gang, gang.
From Soul Exchange Canada. Very, 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 very good friends of the show. Mm-hmm. That'll be in the North Building on Saturday, April 27th. So less than a month
now.
Whoa,
April 27th.
That's
holy
ASAP.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. So it runs from 12 to 6. Vendor setup, if you are buying a table, is from 8:30 to 11:30. You can buy tickets at, I don't know where. Sorry.
There's a phone number you need to reach.
There's a phone number.
Yeah.
You can find it on their Instagram.
We'll be posting it.
Those shows are always super, super fun. Yeah. So if you're in the area in Toronto, in the GTA, make sure to come out. Yeah. Make a whole day out of it. And finally, I'm out of breath. Our New Era Canada pre-orders arrived today.
Ooh.
So if you're listening to this, it's very likely that your order has been shipped by now, hopefully. I'm going to try and get it done this weekend. But just so everyone remembers, on episode 50, we did a pre-sale in celebration of the 50th episode for the staple New Era snapback, the red leaf on the black snapback New Era cap. Mm-hmm. And we actually got a lot of messages today when we posted them on the story saying, can I get one? Is it too late?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sure you don't sound like that whiny, but it felt whiny because you don't listen to the podcast, apparently, because Alvin even gave you guys an extra day,
real talk.
The extra 24 hours. It was supposed to be just the weekend. And Alvin's like, no, loud demands. And I was like, all right. So if you missed out, we have a bunch of them. We're just, waiting on something special.
A little something special.
So you can get those. But for now, if you did pre-order it, expect it hopefully within the next week when you're listening to this. Next up, returning for the first time in a little while, Sneaker Heading for Dummies.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
So this is going to lead us in to our main discussion this week. And this is going to be Sneaker Heading for Dummies Grails Edition. So Grails for Dummies. So essentially from you guys, I just want we've done it before, but I want a definition of grails from each of you. Joel, go.
Something that's hard to attain. So it's like your ultimate pedestal sneaker that you want to get.
Okay. It's a good definition. Alvin, what is it to you?
Something you will never get rid of.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one too.
Well, that's added on top of mm-hmm. whatever Joel just said.
Yeah, I can agree with both of those. I mean, yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Both of those definitions sum it up pretty well. Mm-hmm. So the main discussion this week is obviously going to be all about grails. And it was inspired, actually, obviously, by Alvin securing one of his grails, I think, the Sean Weatherspoons, that now all three of us have. See, he's still excited about it. So last week when we were at the podcast, we were sitting upstairs. All three of us had the pair on. Adam was jealous. He didn't have them. And Sasha was telling us, his wife was like, he just goes and opens the box and smiles and like, looks at them and then closes it. And I've literally said on the podcast before, like, I've done that too. Yeah, like, man. I've 100% done that many times with a lot of different shoes. So, Alvin, would you say that was a grail?
I would say so. Yeah. It was definitely something that I thought was unattainable for a good chunk of time.
For almost a year.
And I definitely did not think that I was going to attain them.
But you did it.
But mm-hmm. I did it.
And how did you do it?
It was through the good friend Net Magnetism.
Yep.
Basically, I hit him up, proposed the trade with cash considerations, and I was just lucky enough to have, I guess, a tempting enough trade, or like a good enough trade for him to want to go through with it. Mm-hmm. And man, he said the pair was used, but to be honest with you, like, where?
Yeah.
Like what?
Worn inside on carpet.
Yeah, like carpet. I definitely, yeah. So yeah, it was great. Nice. Like, I don't know, like, I get all giddy.
He's still giddy, yeah. So what would you guys say makes a shoe a grail for you? Like, is there something in your mind? There's like a mental checklist, or like something you need to think about, or so not think about. There's something that it needs to qualify for to make it a grail. Like, what do you, Joel, what do you, when you're going through your list of grails in your mind, is it mm-hmm. something they all have in common? Is there, like, what is it?
It's, for me, it's something that I'll probably never get.
Yeah.
It's just something that, I don't know, it just defies you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, when you look at the shoes, like, shit, that's me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joel. Yeah. But yeah, that's me, right? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those, and it's like, you just can't, like, whenever you see it, you're like, it's like, you know what I mean? You get like
goosebumps. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. So do you think a grail has to be unattainable then?
Not necessarily. For it to be a grail? No? Not necessarily. Just as long as you get those kind of vibes.
The feels.
Yeah, the feels. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make you feel a certain way.
Yeah, man. Yo. Real talk, dog. Yeah. Like, it got me feeling some type of way. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog.
So you too, it just is that grail. It just makes you feel a certain type of way.
Yeah, like you just, you know how like when a shorty comes along and like, yo, you just can't stop thinking about her. And it's just
like, when
you
wanna, your wife walks along.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Like when she walks along and you're like, you're trying to holler at her, but she's not having it. That's like a grail thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to offer man's like, oh, yo, would you take this? They're like, no. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And you try harder.
And you try harder and harder, and you work out, and then you just make more money, and like, you know, you suddenly become attractive, and somehow you get the shorty. So
do you think there has to be like a timeline per se to like for it to become a grail? Like, like Alvin, the Shawns came out last year, and you said it was probably up on your grail list for sure. I mean, you dropped some dough on it, so it must have been up there. Is there a timeline that has to pass by for it to become a grail, or can it pretty quickly just automatically become a grail?
No, I mean, for me, obviously, one of my other grails is the Elephant Print Air Max 1 Atmos. And the minute I saw that on like a forum.
Yeah. You were like, I need it.
I was like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a shorty. So, I mean, obviously now I still don't have it. I plan on attaining it at some point, hopefully this year. Mm-hmm. Probably not though. So I'm going to still keep working out and hopefully, you know, one day a shorty will come to me. Like, we'll see. But yeah, that's definitely like, yeah, the moment I saw that, even like before the re-release or whatever, it was already a grail for me.
Yeah.
And the moment I saw the Shawns, I was like, I knew I wasn't going to get them. And I knew the price was going to be stupid on him.
And you were right about one of those things. The price is stupid, but you did get it.
So mm-hmm. I got lucky.
You never know.
And you agree, Joel? Like once, mm-hmm. one as soon as it comes out, as soon as you see it, it can be a grail. There's no like time frame that has to pass by.
There's no time frame, man. Like it's all about the feels.
Yeah.
No one can tell you how you love somebody.
You can't, man. You can't. Whenever you feel that type of way about like a certain sneaker, whether it's old or like brand spanking new.
Yeah.
Then that's your grill.
Yeah, so man.
Like, who cares what other people think? You know what I mean?
It's very true.
It's how you feel about the sneaker. You know what I mean?
Facts. I don't know. Like, for me, you know? I don't know if I would say that a time frame has to pass by, but it has to be like a long loved thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For me, it's like I see it and I'm like you said, oh, that's a ting.
Mm-hmm. Like, you still want the ting.
Like, yeah, you could be walking down the street and see 12 tings.
But you're not going to keep thinking about it.
There's only
one
grail. Yeah. See? The one that you keep thinking about. The one that has some time behind it for it to manifest in your mind. And you're like, honestly, I need it. Like, you're still thinking about it like 5-6 years later. You're like, I need that shoe. Yeah.
That's a thing.
To me, like, that's a grail.
Yeah.
Like, something that you've just been trying to get for so long. And like, you know, it's going to be tough, but you still keep trying for some stupid reason.
Yo. See, people can relate to the thing, the shorty analogy.
Yeah. When you relate it to girls, it's pretty easy.
For real.
So we know your most recent grail pickup, Alvin, was the Sean's. What about you, Joe? What was your most recent grail pickup?
He's here.
Hey.
Hey, girl.
Bless you.
I think my most recent, like, that I was able to knock off that
list.
Ongoing bucket list, grail list.
Just keep getting longer.
Yeah, man. Probably was the 112s.
Yeah.
And the Air Max 112s.
Yeah. That I got from PZ CP4.
And how did you go about acquiring said grail?
He hit me up. Yeah. He hit me up. He's like, yo, I got an extra size. You know, let's work something out. I know, I got an extra pair. You know, let's do it.
Yeah, a couple extra.
Yeah,
pairs,
man. Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's talk, man.
But it wasn't like a lump sum thing, right? It was like a...
No, yeah. We were able to like work out like, you know...
A layaway plan.
A layaway payment plan.
Miss layaway
thing,
dog.
You know? But yeah, man, he's cool. He's cool like that. So yeah.
I can't think of my most recent grail, to be honest. Like, it's been a while since I've bought something like crazy that I can remember. I know that last year I did pick up... Was it even last year?
So the Yeezy?
Yeah, I don't even think that was last year, though. Yeah, I think that was a year ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we all have it in common. Like, the grail pickups that we do get come from selling or trading or getting rid of existing pairs. It's like a pretty common theme.
Yeah.
So what is your current grail? Like, we'll say number one, but you can do like 1, 2, 3. There's always that top tier number one, like, you know you're never going to get it, but it's still on your list, grail. And then there's like the Sean's or like the Yeezy ones or the 112s where it's like, yeah, I could probably get that. Mm-hmm. What is that for you? Let's do number one. Like, you know, you're never going to get it. And then like probably going to attain it grail.
Probably going to attain it grail is definitely the Atmos ones.
Yeah.
Elephant print.
That's within reach ish.
Yeah. Sort of, not really.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
What about number one?
I got to think about that one.
Yeah. All right, Joel, on to you.
I'm going to start off with like the number one grail.
Number one, probably never all time.
Will probably be like Amsterdam.
I knew that already.
Yeah. or Cherry Woods. So it's a tie between those two.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still thinking about, you know, something that's attainable, that's in that grail kind of stature. So I don't know. It'll probably be something, I don't know, weird.
Something random?
Yeah. Something random.
I think, my number one is obviously Air Mags. Like, I've made that very clear. So if anyone has a pair and wants to lay away the hell out of it for like over a 4-year span, let me know. But attainable grail, I don't, like I said, I have a list. I think we all have a mental list, but I have a physical list that I've been writing out. So on it, I have like band ones, like with the X on it. I have Dunkles. I've got Air Fear of God ones, the light bone one. I actually really like those because of the mag influence, actually. What else is on there? South Beach LeBron 8s. Those were one of those shoes that I think
those are like slowly decreasing in price.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, basketball shoes in general are just not as popular as they used to be. But yeah, a bunch of SBs and stuff like that are on that list.
Yeah,
what was your number one album.
I had it. I just totally forgot.
As what I started listing off shoes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, true, those are dope. And I was like, oh, true, those are dope too. Oh, I was going to say Yeezy 2s.
Which one?
Solars?
Solars, the black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Red Octobers and I like the Pure Plats, but those Solars, man.
That's like the Yeezy of all Yeezys.
It's that colorway, the black with the glow in the dark and the infrared.
That colorway is iconic now. Like, it was put on so many other things, along with the Red October, but all red is just played out. Like, that's Solar.
It's simple, but not really.
Simple,
so it's like,
but different. And
the silhouette, man, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably the only Yeezy.
Not my favorite Yeezy, but when I imagine a Yeezy, that's the one that comes to mind.
It's clean.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So this next sort of question or topic was kind of inspired by Chris Chu, actually.
Yo,
he hit me up with an idea for a game show that I'm sure we'll do on here eventually when we work out the kinks. Mm-hmm. But he mentioned that there's like tiers in your mind, like mental. Everyone has their own little tier set in their mind of sneakers and price ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have that in your mind? Is there like, say, I think there's, when I was thinking about, there's four tiers. Mm-hmm. So I have like an outlet shoe tier, which for me is like below $100. Like for that, it's like, okay, that's cheap enough that I'm definitely considering it.
I would need to be, so outlet shoe, I would need to be saving at least 60%.
Oh, seriously, it's not my percent. Okay.
Like it has to be a good chunk of money for me to want, like even if it's a nice shoe, it has to be like a really, like, man, when the Pinnacles hit, the outlet.
Yeah, Air Max
outlet.
One?
Yeah.
Those are sweet.
I still it wasn't enough of a
discount.
Much as I love those shoes, it wasn't enough of a discount for me to still.
That makes sense.
Them.
That's a good. That's you a fair I mean? Argument. Yeah.
It was tough for me to say no, but
man.
So yeah, my outlet shoe price in my mind when I think of like when I go to the outlet, if I see X, Y, Z for less than $100, then it's I'll probably pick it up.
Then you'll scoop
it. Next is like retail, where I'm like. Like under $300, between I guess $100 and $300. I'm like, okay, that's pretty average now for a pair of retail shoes or like a whatever, not whatever, but pair of shoes to get.
Like a pickup.
Yeah. And then there's that middle tier, which I would consider like, I guess, attainable grails, where it's like, it's a big chunk of change, but you're willing to throw it out there if the price is right and the timing is right and all that stuff. And I think for me, that's between like $400 to probably $600 or $700, maybe up to $800.
Mm-hmm.
Just like one of those, like once a year, like big boy pickups.
Yeah.
And then above that is like, we're talking like, if I'm paying above $800, it's got to be a grail.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Top three on my list type of deal. Do you guys have that mental in your head too, where it's like the threshold in your mind or? Like Alvin said, it's just 60% off at the outlet. But do you have like that in your mind where it's like mid-tier, upper tier?
I don't know if it's necessarily tiers. It's more of like, who was it? I think we were talking to Keith. And he was like, yo, I have a really hard time spending $800 on one shoe. Mm-hmm. But he'll spend $800 on two good pairs of shoes. I think I kind of have the same mindset because of my situation in terms of like, being responsible or trying to be anyway, having to pay for bills and a mortgage and all that good stuff, which I love because, you know, I got my spot and a wife and kid. So it's just like, I also cannot just shell out. I can't justify in my head spending over over $500 for one shoe, even though technically I did. Technically. And again, like, I would rather spend, like, I would definitely pull the trigger, like, spend like $8 on what, three pairs of good shoes. You know what I mean? So that question that we asked previously where it was like, would you rather your grail or three pairs of your top 10 or whatever? Yeah. I probably would go for the three top 10 because that one grail is just, I can't justify it mentally. Like, I would feel bad about that purchase. I'd try to return it. Like,
see, I'm the opposite way just because of, like we said at the top, like that feeling or that giddiness or those goosebumps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like we're all getting to the point where we've cycled through hundreds of shoes, like buy, sell, trade over and over. Like if you go back in your mind about, I used to have that shoe, like the list is probably
but
endless.
It's soft. I don't need that.
That's what I mean. Like I don't need that. Like I'd rather have like every box is a crazy freaking shoe rather than. Like, I feel like I'm quality over quantity right now.
Yeah.
Amen. So I would just rather 100%. Like, I definitely see where that two pairs over one pair argument comes from.
Similar to, like, what I just previously purchased. Not that they were both mine. Mm-hmm. Like, the sale ones Dave Whites. I would pull the trigger on those two pairs more than I would pull the trigger on a retail pair right now.
I agree. Yeah. Those were some super steals.
Super steals. But, like, 100%. Even if we got charged, like, even more than retail, it's still worth more than, like, the actual...
Definitely agree.
Like a bread four, for example. Yeah. Not that I don't want the bread four.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But, you know, but I get it. Same way, like, I'd rather just purchase, like, quality over...
Yeah.
Just GR regular shit right now.
I just think in my mind, because I do have those tiers, like, whether purposeful or not, just it's the way that I see it in my head. Like, I'm thinking, like, do I want two of the mid-tier ones or one really high-tier one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always end up getting rid of or trading or up-trading mid-tier for a high-tier anyways.
Yeah.
Or a low-tier for a mid-tier. Like, I always try to end up trading up as much as I try to buy to keep now because, like, I'm so done with selling shit. Yeah. Like, it's so annoying. But, like, I just imagine I'm going to get rid of it eventually anyways because I know in my mind it's not that Goosebumps pair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I would just want to, as much as it sucks and pains me to do that for one shoe, like it's just, that feeling is priceless. Not priceless, it has a price. Mm-hmm. But it's priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Joel? Would you do two pairs or one pair?
I would probably do two pairs.
Yeah.
But I would sell multiple pairs
for
the one pair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my tier would be like, same thing with Alvin, like we both have the whole family life.
Yep.
You know, sneaker dad.
Yeah, you guys are adults. I forgot.
So it's like, you know, sometimes priorities. Not there. Priorities, yeah. Priorities. You know, this little man over here on the left, he's like all about ball now.
Yeah, he wants all the shoes.
So he's got to get his shoes, right? Yep. So it's like, you know, it's all about him now. So with me, I got to take that step back or two steps back. Mm-hmm. And if I do want to get what I want to get, I got to flip to get what I want to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, I'll drop like a grand on a pair of shoes.
Out of your pocket.
You know what I mean? I'll flip three, four maybe, to get that one.
And that's how you got your Shawns, right?
That's how I got my Shawns. Like I flipped like two and I had a little bit of cash. You know what I mean? So as long as it's a little bit of cash out of my pocket, I don't mind.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like essentially the cash you dropped was less than retail anyways.
Yeah,
right?
That's so what it was.
Literally two pairs way sitting in your closet versus
less
than retail on a pair of Shawns. Yeah. Like, that seems like a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we've all gotten to that mindset now where we're just like I said, like we're cleaning out the mid-tier or the low-tier to get as high as possible with what we have, with what we're willing to get rid of. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that's the best way. Like, if anyone looks at their closet and there's not those pairs that you're like, I need to keep it, get rid of it, start a little jar, like throw it in a jar, and you'd be very surprised at some of the pairs you can get.
Well, for
sure, some of the stuff sitting in your closet. Yeah. Even if you sell it cheap just to get rid of it quickly, like, all three of us can attest to, like, it works very well.
It works, man.
So that kind of brings me to... Very good intro to this, Joel. To my next question. So I think it was Would You Rather a couple episodes ago where I said, would you rather keep your top 20 or your top 5? Or get rid of your top 20 or your top 5, sorry. And all of us unequivocally said we would much rather get rid of our bottom 20 than get rid of our top 5. Mm-hmm. So you'd rather get rid of more pairs to keep the fewer pairs. Mm-hmm. So my question is, why aren't we doing it?
Because we
like, why aren't we getting rid of these bottom 20 pairs? Yeah. Wait, imagine selling 20 pairs, even if they're super crap, like literally bottom of the stack pairs for $50.
Yeah.
That's $1,000. That's a top tier grail right there. Why aren't we doing it? Is there a reason? Because I'm not doing it either. We're all not doing it.
I've tried selling a lot, like a whole lot. Like I'm talking about like 10 pairs of ASIC gels.
Yeah.
All size 10, 10 and a half.
Yeah.
Nobody wants them. I even dropped it down to $40 a pop. Wow. Nobody wants them. Like, you know what I mean? So it's hard, man. It's hard to sell. Like, even if I do post them for $40, I still get the low ballers. Like, I'll give you $20.
$5, bro. I'll give you $5.
Like, $20, bro. Like,
you could pay me $20 and I'll take your shoes.
Look at the shoe. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, nah.
So it's hard. So you've gone that route and you're like, nah, it's not worth it.
I've tried. It's hard, man. Yeah. So.
Yeah, sometimes you might as well just keep it.
Yeah, that's why probably, I got these blue boxes.
That's a good answer, yeah. Right? That's a very good answer. It's not even worth the hassle.
Yeah.
It would take so long to sell all those pairs.
And I'm not driving to Toronto for 40 bucks.
Yeah, no. For 40 bucks. Yeah, I mean, like, every single time. Like, your cost is going down and down. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But I don't know. It's definitely something to consider because we all said we would get rid of our bottom 20 pairs rather than our top five. Yeah.
I've donated a bunch.
Yeah, I did that too. That's the thing with super bottom pairs. I usually give them away or donate them. But yeah, maybe I'm going to take another look at my closet and see if there's any. I always do it like once or twice, three, four times a year, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Just see, like, do I still love this? And if I don't, it's out of there for probably a steal. And then onto one of those top tier or upper mid tier grails for sure. So let's round it out with what's a non-sneaker grail of yours, guys?
Non-sneaker grail.
Jeep Wrangler. Rubicon edition.
Nice. I had the same answer, and I knew your answer was going to be that. I mean, a Jeep so bad.
It's definitely attainable, just not anytime soon.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely attainable. I mean? Yeah.
Like, that's like a couple years, few years down the road kind of thing, but always shout out to Jigga Man ever since he got one.
Shout out to the barber.
Shout out to the barber, Jigga Man. Yeah. Also shout out to Aaron Mills for letting me win that trip to Calgary because they let me drive a Jeep out there. Oh my goodness. I was in love. When, like, Jig got one.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to marry one after Calgary. So it's definitely like a thing. That's unattainable. Well, it's not unattainable, but that's a grill right now. That's not a sneaker.
Me too. I agree. I was thinking, well, obviously a friggin' crib or a Jeep. I really want a Jeep too. Yeah. What about you, Joel?
I don't know. Probably getting this damn TL fixed, man.
Your grail right now is fixing up your car. Yeah.
Anyone who got a hookup on like so many Acura mechanics parts or parts or labor, hit us up on EEE.
Yeah, I got to get that on the road, man. I can't stop. I got to stop driving this van. It's just killing with the gas prices now, too.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
This is turning into a segment of NSR.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of this podcast, like Jomar. Say what up one more time, Jomar.
What up?
Stuff. Wherever you guys are taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook forum we like to use to sell stuff and connect with you guys. That is facebook.com/groups/cgs.talk. Mm. We've also got a website. We post our reviews, recaps, stories, and much, 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 much more. That's canadagotsoul.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Obviously, do not forget to use the hashtag CanadaGotSoul for a feature on Instagram. I have been Lawrence Hopkins, and you can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, J-O underscore D, three O's, N-E-Y.
I'm Alvin Quinn C, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
Jomar, what about you?
And I am Jomar Hernandez at Dooney Triple O N E Y dot JR.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 55 episodes. Ooh. And please remember to rock your kicks. Mm. We have been Canada Got Soul. This has been True to Size. And we are out.
Peace.
Peace.
Wow.
Thanks for hanging out, Jomar. That was fun. Word. Did you have fun?
Did you have fun?
You did a good job.
Yeah. Good sweaty. Work. Your head sweaty.
Yeah. Trust me. Every Tuesday.